This episode of Speakers of Phaidalin is made possible by our generous patrons like Chris, Craig Marshall, Clinway, Metallico Phaleon, Ariel, Amara May, Adam James, CeeLo Redwind, Dan Wilkerson, Christoph Haas, Sentra, Amy Veris, Infinitron, Casey Schaefer, Alex Baus, and Omega Cat Comet. Support the show and become a patron today at patreon.com/speakersxiv.
This is Speakers of Phaidalin.
Good evening, Aorcians. Welcome to Speakers of Phaidalin, episode 55. I'm Lekeel Bravestone, and I'm joined today by Yaspot and Maela Vanadar. Today we're going to talk about patch 4.06, which released this Tuesday. Moonfire Fair is upon us. There were some summoner...
Thank you.
Thank you, Panda. There were some summoner concerns that were addressed by... Well, there was an announcement. There was something. Yoshi-P said something about summoner. Final Fantasy XIV surpassed 10 million players. The infamous price change has been... Well, they've addressed it, and they've made some changes to it, and Final Fantasy XIV has been announced for PAX West. Before that, if you're following the channel, you've probably noticed that there's no Remnants of a Realm episode. I tried to do three projects at once. That didn't work. So I ended up with like 50% on all three videos, so... I'm gonna do Remnants. So that's good news actually, because it means that Remnants of a Realm will be out this week and or next week, whatever. And that means that Secrets of a Realm will probably be done mid August instead of late. Which I was thinking with late August, like literally on the last day of August, because it felt like it was so far away. But I'm halfway done there now. Also, a mystery project you probably already know. It's Chronicles of a Realm. I'm not going to give a date for that yet. Still, I'm still struggling with the format there.
It's tomorrow.
Surprise. Yeah, we're still looking for writers and editors for the website, by the way. So if you're still interested in that, speakersofphaidalin@gmail.com. Same thing for a replacement for Orange, speakersofphaidalin@gmail.com. We already received a few. So yeah, definitely do that if you're interested in. Okay, so let's talk about 4.06. That released on Tuesday, and with it came a massive... Well, it's either a nerf or a buff to the Ixion Feint. Before, you would get two horns if you completed with a gold, and if you got silver, you got one horn. Now it's six horns for gold and three horns for silver.
Wow. It's basically their way of saying, get the hell out of the zone.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, so it's definitely worth doing now. because it's you only need to get gold twice to get the...
And if anyone's thinking of doing it, do it now while there's still instances. Mm-hmm. Because you could get it in a day if you get lucky. Yeah. Like, you could just be done within a few hours.
Yeah, because there
are
no...
Just do it now, because... If everyone's getting it finished in two goes now, it will be dead in a few months, so get it quick. Mm-hmm.
Good point.
It's true.
And if you're asking, why would I do it now when there are instances? Well, duh, there are three instances. There are actually three chances for it to spawn in a day, so... So there were also some changes coming to jobs. Now, I haven't really... Again, I haven't leveled Dragoon, so I've heard people been screaming for Dragoon, crying, weeping for Dragoon, and I keep seeing it getting buffed. In this patch, they seem to get quite a bit of stuff going on. Heavy Thrust has had its potency increased from 100 to 140. Chaos
Thrust... That's actually the biggest buff in here.
Yeah.
I mean, Fang and Claw went out, but the Heavy Thrust is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Combo potency increased for Chaos Thrust from 220 to 230, so that's only a 10 potency increase. Potency when executed from target's rear has been reduced from 150 to 140. So there has been a nerf-ish there. Weird.
It's still a buff. It's basically what it's doing is it's not punishing you as hard if you don't make your positionals.
Oh,
so the buff, like, so if you hit it from the rear now, it's the exact same potency as it was before. Because they added 10 potency and took 10 potency away.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing, but it's basically just to prevent. It's for fights like O2 Savage, where positionals, you're often facing the front of the boss for just a ridiculous amount of time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then there's Fang and Claw, which actually, yeah, it's increased from 200 to 250. Same for Wheeling Thrust. Both of them getting a potency increase of 50. So that pretty big buffs, I would say. At least on paper.
I've heard people saying that it's not as crazy as it sounds.
Oh, really?
Hmm. I haven't played Dragoon since the patch, so I don't know. But I've heard a few people saying, like, yeah, it's not. It sounds crazy. It's not as crazy as you'd think, though. So.
Oh, well, they definitely. It looks more. Like, I think Dragoon is the one that has. Well, okay, never mind. Okay, I'll reserve that for. Machinist got some nice. Well, why am I spoiling? Ninja. Ninja got one buff.
No, one.
Aeolian Edge has had his combo potency increased from 260 to 280. And potency when executed from a target's rear has been reduced. So it seems like positionals have been nerfed on both Dragoon and Ninja.
Yeah.
So that's nice and bad, I guess.
Well, it's still a buff. It's not a nerf.
Right. Archer, Bard, Straight Shot, effect duration increased from 20 to 30 seconds for Straight Shot. Barrage, recast time reduced from 90 to 80 seconds. So a little bit of a nerf there. No, that's a buff. I counted the wrong way in my head. Mage's Ballad, song effect will now be granted even when the attack deals no damage to the target. And that's the same for Ormi's Paeon and the Wanderer's Minuet.
Mm-hmm.
Are these good? I haven't touched Bard. Bard scared me when I saw the updates. So I was like, oops, I'm not touching this.
Oh no, I mean, you know how I feel about Bard.
Yeah,
but
I know.
I still do know what the buffs are for. Basically what it's for is each song lasts 30 seconds, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they made it so you only have to cast one straight shot during the song durations every single time.
Right.
To basically keep those up. And then Barrage was, I guess, removed from 90 to 80 so that it wouldn't line up with the recasting of songs.
Right. Hmm, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
No. And the rest of the stuff is just, you know, quality of life stuff, so...
Yeah. Let's play Is It Buff or Nerf? That's our new segment. Please look forward to it. Machinist, Hotshot, effect duration increased from 30 to 60 seconds. That's pretty good. How do you pronounce... Is it Gauss? I've heard so many people... Yeah, okay. So it's
Gauss. I said Gauss, but it's actually Gauss.
Okay, it's Gauss Barrel. Damage increase when overheated changed from 10% to 20%. Recast time reduced from 10 to 2 seconds.
What?
Dismantle recast time reduced from 90 to 60 seconds. And Flamethrower increased to heat gauge during use changed from 10 to 20. These are pretty significant buffs. At least to someone who doesn't play Machinists.
Not for Machinists.
Really?
Yeah.
When an effect duration is increased from 30 to 60, one would think...
That's good for them.
Yeah, for Hotshot.
But apparently this is...
I mean, no one is ever happy, let's be honest. They buff and true. Everyone's like, whatever, I want this. I want a bigger buff.
What I think these are is just like a temporary holdover...
Yeah.
Till they actually change it, like, systematically, you know?
Mm.
So I've heard a lot of Machinists saying, yeah, it's not that great. So, we'll see how it ends up turning out, but...
Okay, so, the real treat, because everyone was talking about the upcoming changes to Summoner. And
what's it gonna be? What's it gonna be?
Oh god. And here it is, boys. Bio 3, potency of damage over time effect increased from 40 to 50. Same goes for Miasma 2. Potency of damage over time increased from 40 to 50. Ooh. Ooh. Mm. That's hot. That's we'll get back to this, but I think it's this was pretty that's the short end of the stick here, I think, of all the buffs. But hey, we'll get back to it. That was the changes for the jobs. And now, oh yeah, Feast Season 5 has begun. Has anyone done it yet or started?
I did some, yeah.
No.
Yeah, I did try some. I started and I forgot that they had changed how healer worked. So I went in as a white mage, and I have never panicked as much as I have. And poor people in that party, because I only used Cure 2, which made me run out of MP very quickly. And I also realized I only have one attack spell, and it has a cast time. I'm gonna die. And I died. I died a lot, and I'm still like halfway to bronze. I think I've won twice out of like 50 matches. No, not 50 matches. 30 matches. 20 matches. I don't know. Don't look at my PvP profile. Is that public? Oh god, if it is.
I don't think it is.
Yeah. Yes. Do you have any thoughts? Did it? I don't even know. They didn't change anything for the season. It's only the rewards, I guess.
It's only the rewards, yeah. No, I mean, it's kind of the same.
Yeah.
Like, it's good. I was doing it as ninja, just while I was leveling.
Yeah.
And
do you get EXP from the feast? Oh, you do.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was getting about 400k, I think, per match.
That's not too shabby.
Roughly. Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah. All right. Obviously, as we talked about last week, you can. The weapons are now more obtainable, because I think once you reach bronze, you start getting tickets. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Get enough tickets and you can get yourself a PvP weapon. So yeah, please do that. then the carbonized
or matter. Don't.
Or don't, you know. Are there a lot of like bots in the feast, by the way?
I've never seen one.
Okay. Yeah, because I would figure that would be more difficult to...
It would last like 2 seconds,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Yeah, carbonized matter prices has been reduced. I'm not even going to go into that. We talked about that a couple of episodes ago. Field instances have been removed for the Fringes, the Peaks, the Ruby Sea, Yangsha, and Azim Step. There's a typo in the show notes. Yeah, so that's good. The locks still having their... what's it called? Their instances up, obviously, because of Ixion. A good news, automatic logout function has been removed. Yay! I can AFK all day again. So that's good. This is probably... Yeah, it seems about right. This is about the same time they did it with Heaven's Sword, I believe. So that's on schedule. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the summoner. I don't know too much about what's wrong with Summoner, just as a disclaimer. I do know that there's something with like how it plays. The play style of Summoner right now is a mess. And I think a lot of people expected this patch to address some of those issues, but instead they increased 2 dots potency by 10. Yoshi P then, right after patch 4.06, sent out a statement on the lodestone, and it reads, "Hello, adventurers. Thank you Thank you all for continuing to provide feedback on Summoner and the adjustments made in patch 4.06. As some players have pointed out, Yoshida made a comment..." Wait. Oh, this might not be from Yoshi P at all. Okay. No, never mind. As some players have pointed out, Yoshida made a comment regarding summoner adjustments on a recent community broadcast before the release of patch 4.06. Yeah, this isn't from Yoshi P. This is from Yoshi P. I believe we need to make several changes to the summoner system, but it will take some time and will not be ready by patch 4.06. Therefore, we'll make adjustments that can be done through data first. We understand that you may be anxious for more information, but for now, we wanted to share an acknowledgement that the team is aware of your concerns and is looking into how to proceed. Thank you again for continuing to provide extensive feedback and suggestions. Please continue to share your thoughts with us, and we'll be sure to pass it along to the dev team. So they
I love this. So they basically said, we told you we weren't going to fix it yet.
Yeah, that's basically what they did. Just a reminder that, yeah, we didn't make any promises for this patch. It does kind of tell us that they are actually going to change stuff mm-hmm. here.
I think it's the same thing with Machinist as yeah, well. Like yeah. It'll be addressed like in a full play style sense, probably 4.1, I would assume.
Yeah. Yeah, they should do it as soon as possible. And 4.1 seems to be an okay time to do it, which would, yeah, because they changed a lot of jobs with the release of Savage. And we're getting a raid in 4.1, the casual raid, so it would make sense to make the adjustments there. Okay, Moonfire Fair, that's happening. A little bit, if you were on the ball early when this event started, you could earn some real good money if you started farming Puppetos. Because my god, did they sell... Because. That's the first thing I did. I didn't care about the quest. I just ran. I just equipped my botanist, and I fucking gathered those potatoes, and I made a lot of gil on that. Also, making battered fish and potatoes. That was a great 4 hours of just earning millions and millions of gil. Then the market crashed.
It's
like obviously,
it's the most British event ever. Just making fish and chips for everybody.
Yeah, that's true. That is a bit weird. Myla is like in the middle of this quest.
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah. So, I have to point out something about that quest. At some point in that quest, you have to. That's when I realized, oh my god, I'm actually playing a Japanese game. When you had to do the blow dart thing, although you're not blowing darts, you're just looking at women in underwear or in bathing suits near the water. And just to make it just that perfect Japanese thing, they had to put in some men in very tight underwear, sort of obscuring the view, and your mission is basically to look at the ladies and not at the men.
Wow. Did you notice that they put all of the girls at dick level of all the guys too? Yeah.
So
it's like, come on.
It was pretty great. I was a little bit embarrassed at that moment while I was doing that quest, because I was like, this is what it's come down to. I'm looking, and there's a Lala fell in there, which I felt was a little bit wrong.
Yeah. I was like, I picked the other three chicks. And I'm like, oh, there's one left. Yeah. Who do they? Oh.
Mm. Yeah. So that was that was the thing. So other than that, there were repeatable quests. One where you did the battered fish, which you had to craft. No quick synthesis, so you had to make it one by one. Which wasn't too much of a hassle, but then there was the fate grinding, and the last one was fishing, I believe, where you had to fish.
And the fireworks one.
Oh yeah, on the fireworks one. Is that a repeatable as well?
Okay. Yeah.
It is,
yeah. I only did the battered fish one. So let's compare this to last year's event. What that was the go-go, the Power Rangers one. I can't remember.
Was last year's event the one where it had that fate? You had to do that. Oh no, you had to kill those mobs, but they died instantly.
Yes.
Because people were just spamming AoEs on.
I believe that.
After you got past that one, though, it was actually a good event.
Yeah, it was. That's when you got the dab emotes. Can't remember quite. Was it a fate or was it just quest mobs? That was
just quest mobs.
Yeah, there were quest mobs, and they ran out. There were sheeps. No, I can't remember what it was. Yeah.
There was something there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they would just immediately get nuked by everyone's AoEs.
Yeah. That was pretty great. And there were fates as well. I believe there were multiple things you could do. But you had to do the different ones to get the different emotes and the gear, I believe. So to get one dance,
I don't think you did.
I think you had to just do them all once to go through the main quest.
Oh, yeah, that's
and you could repeat them too.
Right.
Yeah, it was just token handed. Like,
that was like the hide and seek one, the Elps that shoots water, and then something else.
True.
It was really similar to this year's Moonfire, Moonfire tends to be probably one of my least favorite events throughout the year, because it's never really anything special to me. It's just, hey, let's go on a beach and
look at boobs and asses.
Yeah, basically.
And eat fish and chips.
Or shaved ice.
Or shaved ice. That's more or less what it was. It is worth mentioning that the event was held on the new islands in Costa del Sol. Swimming isn't really a big part of the event, but I mean, swimming is a thing. Swimming is relevant to this, so it's at least gave swimming some relevance.
They still haven't topped Halloween last year, though.
I'm not sure they ever will.
No, that was so good.
I hope they, like, I keep saying, I wonder if they'll just repeat that for Halloween this year. Wait, what? So the haunted house thing, that was last year, right? So we have I'm curious to see if they'll actually just repeat it or if they'll do something else.
I hope they do something else, but if they just repeat it, I'll still happily do it again, because it was
I just hope they changed it up a little bit. I understand why they would use Hawk Manor, because that's like the only haunted house we have, but would be nice if they changed it up a little
bit. I mean, Siren Song Cove is kind of spooky.
True, but then again, it would people that haven't bought Stormblood wouldn't be able to participate.
Tamtar Deepcroft is scary.
No.
Tamtar is not. It's not scary enough.
It's not scary enough. Totorak is technically. I mean, you could make that pretty scary too. I mean, that's scary in itself when you get it, but. Comparing it again, though, to what was the previous event
for Halloween?
No, for before this event.
Oh, for me,
would have been Easter, right?
Yes.
They had a good mount.
Yeah, the mount was great.
You got the big egg mount.
Yeah, I don't.
The event was so.
The rewards for this event, I have to say, is a little bit like we talked about this in the previous episode, though. But it is just the second dungeon gear that you can die. And then there's some shaved ice, and I like the picture you get that you can use in your house. It's very vibrant, but other than that, not really much. Oh, and of course you get the song, the Power Ranger song.
That's the only thing I grinded for. I got the song. I think if they want to make everybody happy, just put a mount in the event and everybody's happy.
Or a minion.
Or a minion. Yeah.
It's very easy for us to say. Just make a mount.
It's easy.
Okay, so let's move on from that. All in all, though, it's an okay event. It's not the worst
event.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Can we think about the worst event?
Just thinking, it has about been a year since Yo-Kai Watch, hasn't it? It was
It was
around this time last year. That's the best event, obviously. But the worst event, Lukeil,
what was the worst
Halloween?
Event?
Halloween. Oh yeah. Oh god. Yeah. Remember the one in Uldar where you had to go the moving fate through Uldar to get those cookies.
Oh
god, that was a mess. Yeah, and I didn't really know what to do. I remember doing the. People are pointing out Valentine.
The first Valentine was bad.
Mm, mm.
I think the one where you had to trade white chocolate and dark chocolate to each other.
Yeah, that was pretty lame.
And you got nothing for it. You got that stupid outfit that I've never seen anybody glamoring ever.
Yes.
I liked the chasing eggs, that rolling egg through Gridania.
That I liked it.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah. And it made a good noise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was great. Yeah, but I think that this year's Valentine, I remember we talked about this on the podcast, that was proper shit.
Yeah, the most recent one was awful. It was literally just one quest, and then you, like...
Oh, yeah, you just did a quest.
And then you'd finish.
Oh, yeah, there was nothing to it.
Oh, that was just for the dote emote,
yes,
right?
Yes, you got the dote emote.
That's all you got, yeah.
Okay, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, that was a bad
That was so forgettable, I totally didn't remember that happened.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. Oh, well. Okay, let's move on. Let's just ignore my LS Yokai Watch comments and move on to Final Fantasy 14 surpassing 10 million players. So that was announced. Was it announced officially? I could only find a Japanese link and some gaming news outlets. So I guess that is what I don't know. Oh wait, I checked the Final Fantasy 14 census thing. Or what? There's a website where you can check how many players there are and how many active subscriptions there are. Mm-hmm. And I believe that one also said 10 million. I'll read a little quote from, this is from a website called Game Revolution. Square Enix has announced that Final Fantasy XIV has surpassed 10 million cumulative players to date thanks to record turnout since the launch of the Stormblood expansion. This figure makes it one of the top 10 most successful subscription-based MMOs in history. Game Revolution reported in July 2015 that the title achieved 5 million subscribers within 2 years of its A Realm Reborn relaunch. This is this new achievement puts it on pace to average 5 million new players every 24 months. So, I mean, first of all, it is an achievement because it means 10 million people, or let's be honest, a certain percentage here is RMT. But still, if RMT is that interested in a game, there has to be a market. So 10 million is still a big achievement, though it does not reflect subscriber numbers.
No.
I don't. Square Enix has never released sub numbers for 14, as far as I can remember. WoW used to do it before. Was it before No, wait. I can't remember when they stopped.
I think they stopped
in Draenor.
Yeah, when that started to go to shits. They were that's it. No more numbers. But yeah, Square Enix have never released. I don't think they've ever released for 11.
I remember them releasing it once.
Did they?
It's funny because the only reason I remember this is for a different reason. it was all of the like Square Enix people were meeting together and kind of talking, you know, about all the projects they're working on.
Right.
And it was Yoshi P and whoever is running 11 now, I don't remember the name.
Oh yeah, no, I can't either.
And I remember because they were talking.
I remember that. That was so sad.
And Yoshida's like, yeah, we got 2 million active subs. I think that's what it was around there at the time something like that. And the other guy's like, yeah, we may be barely struggling to keep six digits. That's all he said, and it was like, oh, that's probably like 100,000 subs then. Which, to be fair, I mean, nobody expects that game to have a million.
I mean,
subs.
It's still impressive for 11 to have that many subs. I mean, it's still running, which is insane. I don't understand how that game, because if you look at it, like, I mean, I think 11 is a great game, but it hasn't aged too well. If you look at it now from a 2017 perspective, if you started playing 11 just today, never heard about it before, like, I'm going to boot up this Final Fantasy 11, I think you'd probably leave before you've even started the game, because just the launcher in itself is a mini game.
But it's got a good song, man. It's really good song. It's got jazzy.
Nice jazzy piano music for you there. But still, 14 is clearly still doing fine. Apparently, according to that website, which is not accurate, it's just below 500,000, which the reason I'm saying it's not accurate is because it only measures those that have the 3.2 story minion, I believe. So it doesn't count new players that might have started with Stormblood, for instance. But yeah, so that I think that's maybe 600,000 if you count new players, something like that. Which isn't too bad for an MMO, which isn't WoW.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of money, the Square Enix did a thing that we mentioned at the tail end of I think it's like 2 episodes ago. If you watched this video on that episode on demand, that was cut out of the episode because we didn't put that Q&A session in there. But basically, Square Enix did they just raised the prices for Russia and I think it was Brazil.
Steam users
specifically. They just raised the prices without saying anything, and obviously people got a little bit upset by that because and the reason they did that, at least what people thought was the reason, was because Russia and Brazil on Steam had a lower price on Final Fantasy XIV's monthly subscription, so they just raised it to match the rest of the world's prices. Now this, they did this without letting players know, which in the terms of service, that's not nice, because it basically says in the terms of service that they have to give you at least 30 days notice before they do that. Now they issued this pretty long statement a couple of days ago about the price change. Alongside the launch of patch 4.06, we increased the subscription price of Final Fantasy XIV for Brazilian and Russian Steam platform users. We would like to apologize that this price adjustment was not communicated beforehand, which led to confusion and frustration within the community. We understand that additional communication past the acknowledgement of the price change furthered confusion within the community. However, we wanted to be able to present a solution for your concerns, not just reiterate that we were aware of the concerns. The reason for this increase was to ensure that no matter where someone plays from, what currency they use, or which platform they play on, the price would remain roughly the same for everyone. Before this change, the price for Brazilian and Russian Steam platform users was lower than what other users, even those in Brazil and Russia, were playing when not using the Steam platform, were paying, sorry. After the change, everyone was paying roughly the same price. We will temporarily revert the recent price adjustments in the upcoming Mog Station maintenance planned for August 16th, 2017. These reduced prices will be in place for approximately 60 days. After that, prices will return to the levels they are at today. This extension of the reduced prices and when they are ending will allow Brazilian and Russian Steam platform users to prepare for the price change. We will also be adding 30 days of game time to the accounts of Brazilian and Russian Steam platform users who were impacted by the subscription price changes. Once more, we would like to apologize for the frustration caused due to the lack of announcement ahead of time. Woo!
I feel like this is a response, like, they got a message from a GM, and they're like, I'm so sorry, I'll give him the gil back. Yeah. I'm sorry I ripped him off. Just don't ban me, okay?
I think Square Enix legal team was a little bit... I think they might be behind most of this.
Oh, I would say.
Yeah, so basically... I mean, the prices will still be reduced, but they're going back. They have to go back. Prices are back down for 60 days. You even get... So that's a nice package you get there. You get 30 days free.
Yeah,
pretty good. Great. Pretty good.
Yeah. I don't really understand why.
I don't understand how they managed to break their own terms of service. I mean, obviously even they don't read it.
That's impressive. Yeah, oh god.
I'd like seeing them backtrack though. They realize that it can have legal implications that could, you know, probably quite seriously damage them. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
They quickly went back on that.
Oh, good job.
I love it.
Okay, PAX West, Final Fantasy 14 has been announced for PAX West. What is PAX West for a scrubby European? Is that a where is that?
It's on the west.
It's on the west. So, like, so it's on the west coast of the US.
I think it's in Cal. I think it's like San Diego or something.
Ah, okay, that makes sense. Stormblood took us to the far east, and now the Final Fantasy 14 team. Wait, did I just? What did I just say? And now the Final Fantasy 14 team heads west to attend PAX West 2017 in Seattle. We'll be hosting a battle challenge for attending.
Seattle.
Attending adventurers to test their might against the Lord of Revel himself, as well as a lore and localization panel with the one and only Koji Fox.
Ooh, lucky.
Yeah. So the panel is called Tales of Localization and Lore with Koji Fox.
Snappy.
Very snappy. Rolls off the tongue. Join English localization lead Michael Christopher Koji Fox as he discusses various topics on the lore and localization behind Final Fantasy XIV Stormblood. He'll also be answering various lore-related questions gathered from the official forum, so be sure you don't miss out. Why are there no tacos in Eorzea? Who knows? Hopefully Koji Fox does. Are they implying that there's I'm not even gonna go there.
You need to wait for the new world.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
Mericidia is Mexico.
Yeah. Oh, that would be spicy.
It would definitely be in the new world. You know, you got the
dragons with sombreros. Panel attendees. We have to cut that from the on demand. Panel attendees will also receive a mini double-sided Stormblood poster featuring the key characters of the expansion. Now, I haven't had time to put that into the thing, but here's a very badly printed screenshot that the camera doesn't even want to focus on.
Those are awesome. Yeah. Those are really cool.
Yeah, I like the artwork here.
Someone send me one.
Yeah, please do. Send it to
They're so cool.
I was about to say send it to speakersofheidland@gmail.com. That would be
No, send it to Yazpot's house.
at gmail.com.
So this event takes place on September the 2nd, 2017 at 1 PM PT, 4 PM ET, 8 PM. 8 PM. Sorry, there's a weird... I don't understand why... Okay, whatever. Can't make it to PAX West, don't worry. The panel will be streamed live for adventurers around the globe to tune into.
Just at the start time of Speaks of Heidlen, isn't it?
Oh, dear God, yes.
Yes, we're just going to have to watch that.
It's an hour in.
Shit. Well, I mean, maybe we... Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, because we're BST now, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. Yeah, this we start at 7 PM GMT. So yeah, so this is an hour in. So it's on the official PAX West on Twitch URL to be announced. Forum question thread. Visit the official forum thread to ask questions regarding the lore and localization of Final Fantasy 14 Stormblood. There's also like the Susanoo Battle Challenge, and if you beat Susanoo, you get like the my printer needs new ink.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, so.
That's the prototype version.
Yeah.
I'm kind of jealous of all these t-shirts. I wish I had one.
Yeah, me too. Send it to speakersofheidlandreallocation@gmail.com.
Make sure you send an extra small also.
Yeah, please. Okay, that's the end of the show notes. I just wanted to point out that that's the end of the show notes. And we're... How long have we been going?
Well, with the technical difficulties, about 40 minutes.
What a great episode.
About that.
That's a
thanks for watching, everyone.
We can't make the news.
It's been a slow week. It has been a slow week, so I think we can discuss last week's post show. That was a hot burning mess. Basically, we have... The idea was that we were supposed to drag people in and then they would ask a question or discuss with us for a little while and then we'd get another person in. What we did instead was we jumped into the Hangout channel, which very quickly filled up. And when like, I don't know how many got in there, but it did sound like quite a lot of people... And everyone was like speaking at once, made the post show a little bit difficult to listen to. So
a little bit.
We've made a big change for that. So now there's only Patreon supporters that can join the post show for now. I also think Patreons are the only ones that will get the archived episode for now. So yeah, so that's what we're gonna do. Again, still a project, still an experiment.
We got a question. What changes do you want to see for Summoner War and Machinist?
Oh, difficult question, because I don't really play Summoner.
The only one I can really speak on is Warrior.
Mm.
And I don't actually think Warrior needs much changing anymore. I think it's in a pretty good spot.
Yeah.
I think removing the Beast Gauge stuff just worked wonders for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always happy to have a Warrior off tank now.
Yeah, I don't think there's... Because Summoner, I have no idea. I don't play Summoner at all, so I can't answer that. And I don't think White Mage actually needs... Mm-hmm. Other than maybe Plenary... I'm still not quite happy with Plenary Indulgence. It's okay, but yeah, if there's anything I would pick on, it's probably that.
Right. Yeah, Shake It Off is useless, but it doesn't... I don't think it was ever really supposed to contribute like a huge amount to the job anyways. It's just, you're just shaking off debuffs. It's not, I don't know. Mm. It doesn't really, I mean, if they fix it, that's great, sure. But it's not like it's hindering the job having one useless skill. It's totally fine.
Yeah. Plenary really only needs to have the confession stack time extended. Yeah, I agree. It's a bit pointless right now. It's not pointless either. That's the thing with it. If you learn how to use it, it's not too bad. But 10 seconds is still... I mean, it usually ends up with me just trying to spam Medica.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work if they're full health, so... If they maybe made it so that you didn't have to actually heal HP... No, let's not. Let's not go down the...
I mean, that would be kind of cool, but...
So you can build them up and sort of use them as a buffer. I don't know. Okay, so I think we're just going to move on to post. What's the one mechanic you'd change about your favorite job? I just said mine.
Black Mage. I guess the fact that you have to be so stationary. But Triple Cast kind of helped with that, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be kind of nice if Black Mage had... it would be like triple cast, but it would be a stance where they maybe do less damage, but it's instant cast for everything.
Yeah.
Mm. They can switch in that and out of cool. that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be really cool, actually.
Yeah.
I guess for Paladin, I would probably change the Oath Gauge. It's a little bit useless at times. I think... It's great defensively, you know. I mean, useless is probably a bad word. It has good use, but a big thing is when you don't necessarily need to be incredibly tanky in a fight, you're overgeared for it. You need Sheltron for tank busters. That's about it.
Yeah.
So I would like for them to add some sort of offensive use for it. You know, like, I don't know. Like, give you more MP back so you can cast more Holy Spirits, like a refund of Oath Gauge. Something, I don't know, something offensive that might make the job a little bit too, like, it was already too strong. It's not necessarily too strong now, but doing that would make it too strong again. So I don't really know how that would do that. But yeah, just more Oath consumers in general, yeah.
What fight would you like for Super Savage in 4.1? Have we answered this before? I think we've speculated, but do we have any fight in particular we would want?
I'm sure I read something on Reddit about someone working on a one-winged angel version, but I can't remember what it said, so...
Yeah.
Maybe that's a complete lie. Ozma would be great. I would love
Ozma. Yeah, Ozma. We talked about Ozma. Ozma.
Oh, Thorgal. I really liked him.
Oh, yeah.
Thorgal's cool.
Yeah.
He was probably my favorite.
Actually, Ultima is something I'd never really thought about. That's possible.
That is. I think... Yeah, to me, Ozma. I just want that to happen. But
I want to see how they do it.
This is something they've actually talked about before, making an Ozma Savage. So Osma Super Savage would be neat. What's the release schedule for Final Fantasy 12 playthroughs? I've set it to, I think I've set it to Wednesdays. I'm not sure if it's Wednesday or we haven't decided quite yet. It's this week. It's probably going to be Wednesdays because that's like in the middle of the week when we don't really publish anything else. Was there anything else? I saw another one. This would be the perfect timing when Orange would drop his chocolate milk or something. That is true. That would have been perfect time for that. Or bring out his dog.
Not the dog again. And then making the elephant noises.
Yeah, Ozma was in the Red Mage quests.
Oh, I haven't
sort
done,
of.
I haven't done most of those. So.
Was he?
Cool. Interesting.
Yeah, sort of. It was just like in the background. Okay. Any crossover events you would like to see?
I don't really like crossover events too much. They kind of slightly cheapen the world.
Yeah, because everyone
already quite tenuous already because it's just fan service already, so yeah, just makes it a little bit worse.
Everyone's of course talking about Final Fantasy 15 crossovers.
I was gonna say at this point that is the only one I want to see, not because I actually want to see it, but just the fact that they've been talking about it for so long and it hasn't come out yet.
Yeah,
so that just makes me want it.
Yeah,
yeah. And I'd quite like
go ahead.
Final Fantasy 15 what's it called, a king, what's that, it's an empire, what's that rubbish mobile?
Oh, please, don't, oh god,
love
that. Don't even
a crossover event.
We
with
do
that
not
we
speak we do not speak of that app.
I can't even remember what it's called. It's
a new empire.
Oh, thank you, Luke.
Kingdom Hearts event.
I don't want to see that.
No, definitely.
I would fucking die if Donald Duck shows up in AORC. I would fucking die.
When my sub would run out.
I want that. Make it happen. I want Goofy and Donald.
No.
You think they're gonna pay Disney money?
Oh, that's true. Fuck.
Oh, never maybe. Gonna happen.
Imagine the glamour, like giant yellow shoes. Keyblade glamours. Oh my god, it is the dream event. It is the dream event. Attacking Heartless in Thanalan. Oh, imagine it.
Anyway, so for the 4.2 raid for Omega, do you want to do theme more around Final Fantasy V or another Final Fantasy theme?
I hope it's another one. I think
it will,
because they've sort of finished five. We talked about this like several times, but I think five X-Death and Neo X-Death is like the final boss in five, and I feel like that sort of closed that storyline a bit. And I mean, Omega is like everywhere, so they just pick up stuff from everywhere. So I think it's in a different game in the next one. I hope
eight. It's not a lot of eight fan service, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's. No. I think the reason is because it's difficult. Because of
how it's difficult.
Eight's world just doesn't fit.
It's just a bunch of humans.
Yeah. But in the fact that it's now this like interdimensional rift, it can work.
Yeah,
yeah.
It can.
Like that, I think, crazy mechanoid spider thing at the start.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool, I guess.
Especially if it was as difficult as.
And I mean, Ultimisha is a good villain, and it could be a pretty cool, like with the time bending and whatnot that she does. It would probably be an interesting fight, but
I still want Anima somehow in this game. So if that would be a spot for Anima, I would take it.
I guess, yeah. Yeah. I would like to, there's so many games I would like to see. Most of the old ones I would like to see here, because graphics. At first
I was thinking that like we wouldn't get a six, but now just seeing how it all kind of worked, it kind of, I could see that. I mean, yeah, people are pointing out they've already used the Warring Triad.
They have.
There's still a lot more bosses they could use.
True.
They don't have to pick everything from the end of the game, you know, like,
yeah, someone's pointing it. World of Warcraft crossover event. Now that would actually be pretty epic.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah.
That would be epic.
Yeah. Especially if they did it like if 14 did it and WoW did it. Like WoW and 14.
That would be actually quite amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, someone's pointing out more original bosses rather than fan service. See,
I kind of agree,
but seeing as they've sort of established Omega to be like a thing that can pick things out of Omega is basically a fan service raid. I mean, all raids in 14 is fan service.
See, and that, I think that's where my problem kind of goes with is not the fact that like Omega is fan service, but so far I was expecting the 24 mans to be original. I obviously Crystal Tower not original whatsoever. No. It's exact dungeons from 3, but I found Void Arc to be really, the whole Void Arc series to be really interesting and like original, right? With original bosses and all that stuff. So I was kind of hoping that we would get that. I'll admit having two fan service raids go on at the same time is probably a little bit much.
Fair point. Yeah, I see that. Because I think the thing that's difficult right now is that 14 is, yeah, as we said, it's basically built on fan service. So when they make something from scratch, people might not be happy with it because it's not from a game they recognize.
Well, I think,
I mean, people like Ravana, but God, people hate they did like Ravana. Well, Ravana was great. Yeah. So yeah. And it's become an iconic boss.
People like Susano.
Yeah.
It seems like all the original ones they've liked quite a bit.
And obviously Kate Westwind.
The best
one. Yeah, they have almost run out of original primal, not original, fan service primals.
Yeah.
They're going to have to basically just do, it's just Doom Train left, and we won't see that until 5. We go to whatever that place is called. That's not Galbadia, it's
Garlemald?
Garlemald.
What the fuck, did you just forget Garlemald? You're dead to me.
Just because I've got 8 in my mind.
I had the same
thing. I kind of want to go to Galbadia.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool too.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Though I do want 8 just for the music.
Oh yeah,
because I'm not in love with 8 or anything, but it's got one of the best soundtracks.
Yeah,
it's so good.
It's good. I want the little UFO thing that was in 8. I want
that. Poo-poo?
Yeah. Put it in the game. Do it. Minion. That would be awesome. Would be a nice minion to get from that.
Yeah, that would be a good minion. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, they could use the Final Fantasy VIII summons. I was about to say that earlier. There are some unique Final Fantasy VIII summons that they could probably use.
And they've kind of shown that they were going to, because Ixion is really only in 10. And 11, but yeah, they were willing to add him, so I don't see why not.
The ones were cool.
If we're going for summons, though, I'm just going to go back to Anima every time. And since we're way past it, I need to see Yojimbo as a proper summon, as a proper primal battle.
Yeah, I was disappointed. He was just one single random.
He does lower down. He goes away. He doesn't die or anything like that, but I need to see him as an actual primal. I'm going to be real sad.
Do you think that's,
I'm going to write an open letter to Square Enix. No, I'm not going to do that, but still.
And you have to actually use your gill to beat him.
Oh, yeah. That would be nice.
That would be awesome.
Only the rich crafters can beat him.
Yeah. No, you have to be really broke because he'll take your gil.
Yeah, true.
And the more gil he gets, so you have to be like super broke. You have to give all your money to your retainers before you fight it.
Yeah, it might get a hard mode dungeon, so that might be.
I don't want that. That would make me really sad. Please, no.
Yeah, I doubt they'll give him his own trial. Sadly.
He's a summon, so he has to.
Yeah,
I guess
Jimbo's awesome.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to be positive because we probably won't get a trial. Maybe.
Yeah.
We've never seen a dungeon boss become a primal, have we? Wait.
No.
Diablos became a raid boss.
Oh, he's been everywhere.
He became a raid boss.
Fur Dad, and then became a raid boss.
And then we had
Furred, yeah.
And then we had Ultima, which we went the other way around.
He was in a dungeon technically.
Yeah, he started as a trial. Well, I mean,
he started as a dungeon.
He had a funny journey. He was a dungeon boss, became a trial, and then he became trash mob.
Yeah, I forgot about that last part.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
I was about to say something, but I totally forgot.
Wouldn't it be nice to fight Susanna and Eugene, but at the same time, I would like more primal fights where there are two enemies or multiple enemies.
Mm.
That's
yeah.
something that we rarely see, if ever.
Yeah.
And not just like the snakes from Bismarck.
Like that was two enemies with completely different mechanics.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
That would be really cool. I mean, hey, like, the Mage's Sisters is like the perfect place to do that, you know?
Mm.
That'd be really cool.
What if Yojimbo is the Super Savage fight?
Yeah, I don't know. That's not happening.
Oh, that's not happening. Okay. I think that's... They could do the four fiends from Final Fantasy 1. That's something that always gets brought up as a possible fight.
Or 4. I would like actually probably like the ones from 4 more so.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Kraken, Lich, like, they're so generic in 1 that they're not really...
God, one.
That's what makes them great.
One is so generic; it's almost bit sad. But hey,
one is amazing.
I would love the four fiends from Final Fantasy IV, though. That would be really great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, I'm gonna wrap it up and then we'll go into post show. Thank you to everyone for watching this episode of Speakers of Island, episode 55. I'm Lukeel Bravestone. I'm joined by Yaspot and Mela Vanadar. We'll be back next week, same time. See you then, Aerisians. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Speakers of Heidelberg. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/speakersxiv and on Facebook at facebook.com/speakersxiv to stay up to date on the latest from Speakers of Heidelberg. If you want to watch the show live, the show runs every Saturday at 7 p.m. GMT, 12 p.m. PDT on twitch.tv/speakersofheidelberg and on youtube.com/speakersxiv, where we also archive each episode in video format. If you want to support the show, consider pledging to our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/speakersxiv. Thank you!